ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः ज्ञान विज्ञान योगो नाम सप्तमोध्यायः सो दि सेवेंथ चैप्टर इट्सेल्फ मेक्स दिस कॉन्सेप्ट ऑफ भगवान वेरी क्लियर दैट भगवान देयर इज नो भगवान अदर देन ईश्वर द वन हू इज एंडोड विद ऑल दिस सिक्स फोल्ड वर्च्यूज इन इक्वल मेजर भग ज्ञानम श्रीहि वीर्यम ऐश्वर्यम यशस ज्ञानम श्रीहि वीर्यम वैराग्यम यशस ऐश्वर्यम द वन हू इज एंडोर्ड विद ऑल दी सिक्स फोल्ड वर्च्यूज इन इक्वल मेजर इज भगवान एंड दैट अ भगवान इज ईश्वरा एंड ईश्वरा इज अ कॉन्सेप्ट It's a fact. Ishvara is none other than these twofold factors. Paravidya, which we say, the twofold factors. Para prakritihi and apara prakritihi. The twofold natures constitute Ishvara. And these twofold factors happen to be the intelligent and material cause of the world. No, with even the Ishvara, status is attributed. Therefore, the whole Jagat is what? Everywhere, there's nothing in the world which is not a combination of, mixture of para prakriti and apara prakriti. Everything is Ishvara because everything has these two prakritis here. And we have seen how and that Ishvara is essentially a para prakriti of Ishvara is in the form, is the pure consciousness, pure knowledge, the subtlest reality, the satyam. And apara prakriti is mithya. And apara prakriti is not something non-existent. It is mithya because it is dependent on para prakriti. And here, if you see everything is Ishvara means you have to say anatma is apara prakriti. Bhagavan's apara prakriti is in the form of anatma. Bhagavan's para prakriti is the atma. If atma, anatma, everything is actually Ishvara only. Together. And discovering that Bhagavan's para prakriti as our own swarupam is discovering Bhagavan, the swarupam of Ishvara, the truth. And here, that is what is a mokshaha. And one who understands Bhagavan Swarupam, one who knows the Swarupam alone is the exalt of the devotees, the Jnani Bhaktaha. And there again, one who wants to know that Swarupam is a Jignasu Bhaktaha. He is a real devotee. Otherwise, Artha Bhaktaha and Arthi Bhaktaha, those who worship Bhagavan when they're in distress or when for sake of Artha Kamas, even those people are devotees also, Sukritinaha Punyavantaha Janaha. Whereas people who do not have any punyam at all cannot become Bhagavan's worshippers and cannot become Bhagavan's devotees. To be a bhakta, to seek Bhagavan's grace, to seek Bhagavan's help, to at least when a person is in distress, at least for artha kamas, even though not for ajnanam and moksha, one must have punyam. Therefore, Bhagavan also talked about bhaktas, and the bhakti also is made clear in this chapter. Bhakti is not a separate path. Okay. For mokshaha, for the attainment of moksha, bhakti has a separate path. Just using bhakti, I can attain moksha. There's no bhakti otherwise, other than jnanam. Jnanam is the exalted form of bhakti. And you desire to know Bhagavan is the real, again, bhakti. And suppose seeking Bhagavan's grace for my artha kamas is Bhagavan's bhakti. And actually seeking Bhagavan's grace to be relieved of the problems I go through is also Bhagavan's the bhakti. But actually, exalted form of devotion is jnanam. So bhakti is not a separate path. There are only two disciplines, karma yoga, lifestyle to prepare the mind, jnana yoga, karma yoga for preparation, mental preparation, jnana yoga for jnanam, jnanam is for moksha. Here there's no change, okay? There's no bhakti, not a separate path. That is made very clear here. And anything other than jnanam you practice is, well, meditation you practice, bhajans you sing, chokas you chant, pujas you do, and all the duties you do, social service activities you do, anything you do is for preparing your mind for jnanam. Ultimately, jnanam is moksha. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Jnana Vijnana Yogo Nama. Saptamodhyayah. So, in the context of bhakti, when Bhagavan discussed the topic of devotion, he made it already clear. And now here, 20th verse, Bhagavan said,
Kamaistaistairhutajnanah prapadyantenya devatah tam tam niyamamasthaya prakrut.
So, what he wants to say in this 20th verse, particularly quickly, before we move on to next verse. See, who a real devotee is the one who has Purushartha Nischaya, who is committed to the pursuit of moksha, thereby who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, who wants to know who Bhagavan is. And such a person is a jignasu bhakta. He can choose to live a life of karma yoga to prepare his mind for jnanam, or he can even choose, he may be given to sannyasa lifestyle, totally spending his time in shastra study. However, it is a jignasu bhakta is a real devotee. Now, who is the one? He is a real devotee because for him the end is he wants only jnanam. Ultimately what he seeks is jnanam. But he may be pursuing artha kamas for living this life. Artha kamas become the relative ends. He pursues artha kamas, but as relative ends. Jnanam becomes the ultimate end. Then he is a real devotee. Otherwise, suppose Purushartha Nischeha is not there. If artha kamas become the ultimate ends, if Purushartha Nischeha is not there, definitely jnanam will not become the ultimate end. If I want to know Bhagavan, I should know Bhagavan, I should know the truth, I should know the reality, that commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is not possible. If we do not know the value of moksha, if we do not know what jnanam can get me, then naturally, when jnanam is not the end, definitely artha kamas will become the ends. But artha kamas become the ends. Being a religious person, this person makes all possible efforts to pursue artha kamas, but he also seeks Bhagavan's grace. Additionally, in addition to his efforts, Bhagavan's grace he seeks to be successful in pursuing artha kamas and accomplishing artha kamas. And such people, they do not really seek Bhagavan, Ishvara as the whole. See, the person who's the seeker of the truth, seeker of the knowledge of the truth, a spiritual person is said to be the worshipper of Bhagavan Ishwaraha, the whole. The seeker of artha kamas, even though he is worshipping Bhagavan only, but still he is worshipping Bhagavan in him of a given devata for a given specific end. So artha kama, the person for whom artha kamas are the ultimate ends, he seeks only devata anugraha. Why? He worships only devatas. Who is the one who worships devatas? Who is the one who worships Ishvara? Even though devata is Ishvara, every devata can become a symbol for Bhagavan Ishvara the whole. Still, there are people who can specifically invoke the grace of devatas for specific ends, and any specific end sought through worship of this devata worship is actually only a finite end, isn't it? Devata worship will definitely bless us with a specific, whatever is specifically prayed for, but that will be finite end only, time bound end only. So Bhagavan is talking about those people in this 20th verse. Kamaihi taihi taihi hritajnanaha. Now hritajnanaha, people, when, see, you're totally, your interest is only in artha kamas, and there'll be so many desires. There'll be desires, already this will be naturally many desires. Artha kamas are many. Therefore, desires, artha kamas also will be many. And we're impelled by varied, various, multifarious desires, which rise in the mind uncontrollably. And then, those desires totally grab the attention of the person, that they impel him to do, make him only do karma. Therefore, even their jnanam, the discriminative understanding also is robbed off sometimes. They do not even think whether I'm doing it, what am I doing is right or wrong, whether what I'm aspiring for is going to give me permanent happiness or not, what I am aspiring for, what I want to accomplish, is it going to give me permanent sukham or not? They do not even think. So, without any discriminative understanding, completely, grabbed away, intellect being grabbed away by their own desires, those people, what do they do? Anya devataha papadyante. They bow to other devatas. They worship other devatas. How tam nevam asthaya, strictly following the stipulations pertaining to the worship of those given devatas. They will follow the strictly. That is a good thing. That's a discipline, isn't it? So, tam nemam asthaya. And when they do, why they do that? Because, so prakritya swaya niyataha. They completely, they are controlled by their own prakriti. Swaya prakritya niyataha. It means being governed by their own nature. Completely being dropped off their discriminative understanding and impelled by their desires. And those people, they do the appropriate karma, strictly following the disciplines. At the same time, they only seek the grace of other devatas. Which means, here, Ishvara Devata, you have to remember this. All the devatas constitute Ishvara. Devata worship, is it wrong? No. Devata worship is not wrong. What is Ishvara worship and what is Devata worship? In every Pura, Ishvara means all the devatas put together is Ishvara. The worshipper of Ishvara is said to be the one who wants to know Bhagavan as a whole. But Devata worshipper is the one who seeks finite ends. The worshipper of the whole seeks the knowledge of the whole, the truth. The worshipper of the Devata seeks only finite end. So Ishvara Aradhakaha is what? Moksha Sadhakaha. He pursues Moksha Sadhana. He wants moksha as the end. He wants jnanam as the end. Whereas devata worshipper, the worshipper of a given phenomenon, is seeker of finite ends. And why is a person a finite seeker of finite end? Because no purushartha nischaya. That's all. That is made very clear. Now we see the new verse today.
Yo yo yam yam tanum bhak. Taha shraddhayarchitumichyati யோ யோ யாம் யாம் தனும் பக்தஹ ஸ்ரத்தயார்ச்சிதுமிச்சதி தஸ்ய தஸ்யாச்சலாம் ஸ்ரத்தாம் தாமேவ விததாம்யஹம். யோ யோ யாம் யாம் தனும் பக்தஹ ஸ்ரத்தயார்ச்சிதுமிச்சதி தஸ்ய தஸ்யாச்சலாம் ஸ்ரத்தாம் தாமேவ விததாம்யஹம். யோ யோ யாம் யாம் தனும் பக்தஹ ஸ்ரத்தயார்ச்சிதுமிச்சதி தஸ்ய தஸ்யாச்சலாம் ஸ்ரத்தாம் தாமேவ விததாம்யஹம்.
See what happens. Any whichever devotee worships any devata in any form, any natural phenomenon, any devata in any form, or even a person worship Bhagavan in any form as any devata, and seeking a finite end also. See, the person, the seeker of infinite end, moksha, will be only, will become the seeker of jnanam only. Who will seek, who will be the seeker of jnanam? The seeker of moksha, the person for whom moksha is the ultimate end, who, he will want on, moksha is the infinite end. The person of infinite end will seek only jnanam. He will be jnasabhakta. But the person who seeks time-bound ends, finite ends, such a person will be the worshipper of devatas. When you worship the devata, definitely devata worship will bless you with the result or not. Definitely there will be result. Whether you worship devata or you worship Ishvara, whether you worship the Lord as a whole for infinite end, or whether you worship devata, any given devata for a finite end, any worship is a will-involved action. There's a prayer is involved. You pray for a given result. And because of will-involved action, and you shraddhaya, when you do it with great shraddha, definitely you will be blessed with the result. No worship of devata or Ishvara will ever go waste. Definitely you have a phalam. But who ordains that result? Does Ishvara ordain the result or devata ordains the result? That's the question. You may be a worshipper of devata for a time-bound end. You may be a worshipper of Ishvara for an infinite end. But still, the result of that action, act of worshipping, is determined by Bhagavan in the form of natural law. How any karma phalam is determined by Bhagavan in the form of natural law. This act of worshipping also has a result, and that result also is ordained by Bhagavan in the form of order. But Bhagavan says, doesn't matter whether you worship me or worship my anga. Okay? Whether you worship me, Bhagavan, whether you seek jnanam or you seek arthakamas. Artha is Bhagavan, Kama is Bhagavan, Dharma is Bhagavan, Jnanam is Bhagavan, Moksha is Bhagavan, everything is Bhagavan. Finite is Bhagavan, infinite is Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan only. But still, what you seek? The seeker is Bhagavan, sought is Bhagavan, seeking is Bhagavan. But what is sought is finite or infinite, everything is Bhagavan only. Therefore, the Bhagavan is the only karma phaladata. The one who ordains, determines the result of any action is Bhagavan in form of law and order. Therefore, the worshipper of devata, who worships the devata seeking a time-bound ends in the form of arthakama dharmas, also has the grace of Bhagavan only. Bhagavan alone determines. Once Bhagavan determines, Bhagavan ordains the given result of action, then what happens? That person has more shraddha. enjoy the benefit of action you are doing, and you have more Shraddha in that. The same worship. You worship a Surya Namaskara. You do Surya Namaskara. Every day you worship Surya Devata. Surya Pratyaksha Devata. Every day worship him. And then definitely there will be a result. I'll give you an example. That result, who gives the result? The sun god gives the result? No. Sun does not give the result. Bhagavan in the form of Ishvara, the whole, in the name of the order, natural law, determines the result of the act of worshipping the sun. But you can't understand that. When you enjoy the benefit of that worship of Surya, Surya Devata, and you have more Shraddha in worship of the Lord Surya Devata. So you, in fact, your faith in the Devata worship becomes strengthened, becomes much more stronger when you enjoy the benefit of that worship. And that benefit, which strengthens your devotion, actually is given by Bhagavan in the form of order. That's what Bhagavan says here, in this verse. Yaha yaha yam yam tanum. Yaha yaha bhaktaha yam yam tanum shraddhaya architum icchati. Yaha yaha bhaktaha means whoever, whichever devotee, whichever bhakta. So yaha yaha, actually, in English we can't say which, okay? So yaha is what? Relative pronoun, masculine gender. No? This dakarantaha pullingaha yadshabdaha tasya prathma vibhakto ekavachane yaha iti rupam. Yaha is what? Yadshabdasya prathma vibhakto ekavachane yaha iti rupam. So yaha is a relative pronoun. So whoever, he who, we want to say, you can use yaha. But whichever devotee, whoever is the devotee, yaha yaha bhaktaha, you can say twice. Yaha bhaktaha shraddhaya achyati means only one person. So yaha yaha bhaktaha, whichever devotee, shraddhaya is very important. Okay? Katham architam ichyati, shraddhaya architam ichyati. Whichever devotee really wants or desires to worship with total unflinching faith, faithfully. All adverbs are in third case only. Okay, shraddha, stealing a shraddha, so shraddhaya. So whichever devotee, whichever bhakta wants to worship Bhagavan faithfully with shraddha, shraddhaya architam ichyati, and tasya, for such a devotee, for that devotee, achalam shraddham, tam achalam shraddham vidadhami aham. See, Bhagavan says what? How? Tam achalam shraddham aham tasya vidadhami. Means vidadhami. Vidadhami means I give. I actually, tam shraddham vidadhami. Achalam shraddham means I make his shraddha stronger. Which means I make his shraddha more stable. So it means I stabilize his shraddha. Aham vidadhami. Achalam shraddham vidadhami. I stabilize his shraddha. I make his shraddha stronger. I strengthen his shraddha. Aham achalam shraddham vidadhami. For whom? Tasya. Of that specific devotee. Okay? Whichever devotee wants to worship Bhagavan with total faith or faithfully, and then yam yam tanum. And whichever form he worships also, whether he worships the form of Rama, Krishna, Devi, or any other form, or cow, or a tree, or a snake, no, whichever devata, Doesn't even Ramakrishna also. You know, whichever form, whether you go in India, we can see all these things. You can, people can worship the Bhagavan of a snake, Sarpa Puja, Nagadevata Puja, or Vriksha Puja. You know, we people go and come around, in whichever form, or Ganapati, or Subramanya, any Devata, Navagraha, sometimes even Grama Devatas, whichever form, Yam Yam Tanum. Tanuhu is a Strilinga Shabdaha. Tanuhu is a Strilinga Shabdaha, which means form, which also means body. Tanuhu is another word for body. That's why Yam Yam Tanum. It was a masculine, you would become a Yam Yam Tanum, isn't it? Now why Yam Yam Tanum? Because Tanuhu is a Striling, masculine, feminine gender word. That is why son is called Tanayaha. Born of one who is born through the body is called Tanayaha. Daughter is called Tanaya, Tanujaha, Tanuja. All these words we have to mean children, the progeny. So here, Tanuhu is a Strilinga Shabdaha. Yam, Yam, Tanum, Yaha, Yaha, Bhaktaha, Shraddhaya, Architum, Ichati. Whichever devotee wants to worship faithfully, whichever form he worships, Tasya, Tasya, for that devotee, I stabilize, strengthen, make his devotion stronger, stabilize his devotion to that Devata. How? By blessing him with result of that worship, you know, by blessing him with that result. Why? I am the karma paladhata. Ishvara says, Ishvara in the form of universal, natural, moral law and order, Ishvara in the form of natural law alone determines the result of any action. So also worship. Whichever is the devata, whatever is the devata, whoever is the devotee, whoever worships whichever form, that worship, if he has Shraddha in that, definitely it has the palam. That palam is ordained by Ishvara in the form of order. Therefore, by blessing him with that result, I strengthen his devotion. Understand? That is why people go to some temples and they worship, something, things work out. And they'll become a very, very, very strong devotees. And they will tell everybody, no, I went to this temple, I worshipped, it worked out for me, so you also can go there. People also talk about, we can hear from people's telling. And then for some people, it may have worked. Because of their Shraddha, it worked for them. Other persons would have the same degree of Shraddha. Otherwise, it may not work. And they may lose interest also. These things all happen. Anyway, what we should understand, worship works. Worship as a karma is 100% efficacious. Bhagavan promises, Tasya tasya achalam shaddham aham vidadhami. I strengthen and stabilize his shaddha in worshipping that particular devata. Okay. And who? Now you can understand, these devata worshippers, they want to worship devatas. They want to worship devatas. Why? Because they come to know from karma kanda, if I invoke the grace of this particular devata, particular phenomenon, particular devata, then I will get this result. I want this result. For this specific result, I want to invoke this devata, chanting these mantras, offering these oblations to the specifically, for specific end, they worship. And any specific end means what? Definitely, other than moksha, jnanam, any end you seek will be time bound only. Therefore, for time bound end, specifically when they worship devatas, and definitely they're all what? That bhakti is only sakama bhaktihi. Sakama bhaktihi. Worship devata aradhanam is sakama bhakti. Why? Because you worship Bhagavan for a specific end. Isn't it? And with the desire to accomplish a specific end, you want to worship the devata. Therefore, it's called sakama bhaktihi. When does it become nishkama bhakti? You can pray for anything, time-bound results also, but having ultimate moksha as your ultimate end, then you seek anything, then it becomes nishkama bhaktihi. So, people can have desire for anything. In fact, desire for progeny, desire for marriage, desire for getting a good husband, getting a good wife, desire for progeny, desire for even punyam, desire for going to heaven, desire for even cattle wealth. Those days cattle wealth, a desire for healthy cattle wealth, desire for prayer for rains, prayer for, because you need food. Prayer for food, prayer for good crops, prayer for agricultural, prayer for wealth in the form of agricultural products. So prayer for anything. Worship can be for anything. Therefore, and then you do seek Devata worship. That is why Devata worship is not looked down upon. Devata Aradhanam is not inferior at all. Only thing is, we should remember, you can worship Devatas. We are supposed to worship Devatas. We should do Devata Aradhanam. We should seek the grace of Bhagavan in of Devatas. For all time-bound specific ends also, because we need those ends, we need food, we need shelter, we need clothing, we need a good air, we need good atmosphere, everything we need for living this life. But if we want everything, seek everything, even the finite ends, being clear about ultimate end being jnanam and moksha, then it becomes a yoga, then it becomes what? Sakama bhakti becomes nishkama bhakti. With the Purushartha Nishchaya, you can seek Arthakamas also for living this life. Without having Arthakamas as the ultimate end, having them as relative ends, having Jnanam as the ultimate end, you also pursue Arthakamas, you seek also Devata's grace for accomplishing time-bound ends, then it is not Sakama Bhaktihi. It is Nishkama Bhaktihi only. Therefore, we shan't mistake it, that it is not inferior. So, Bhagavan being the only ordainer of results of actions, Bhagavan in the form of Ishvara in the form of law and order being the only karma phala data, therefore any devotion towards any devata becomes stabilized and strengthened when the person enjoys the results of a result of act of such devata worship. Which means, even such a devotion, even prayer, worshipping the Lord in of devatas for time-bound ends, which is said to be Sakama Bhakti, is also highly valid. See, Sakama Bhakti is not useless. It is very, very highly valid devotion. Why? Because such a devotion also definitely helps people, devotees, to get their desires fulfilled. Definitely desires will be fulfilled. Okay? But the thing is, even Sakama Bhakti, prayer for time-bound ends, worshipping the devatas also will definitely will be effective, that their desires will be fulfilled, provided they worship the Lord faithfully. Shraddhaya architum icchati. If they worship the Lord with great shraddha, with 100% faith, definitely their desires will be fulfilled. Therefore, the faith must be there. If you chant a mantra, there must be faith in Veda mantra, faith in Veda Shastram. And then when you go and have I'm in the class, can I call you later? Yeah, I'll call you. Okay, I'll call you. Hurry. So, when you go and have a dip in any river, thinking it is a teertham, it's a purifier with the shraddha. If you don't have shraddha, what is the difference between Ganga and Thames? Okay. Or Rayan or Paramata. No, once you go to Ganga, if it is dirty, when you jump, get into the water, Shraddha comes. Shraddha is there, then it works. Without Shraddha, if you go, even if you, with the Shraddha, thinking of Ganga, even if of course you're not allowed to get into Thames, thinking of Ganga with Shraddha, if you enter into Thames, no, definitely it will work with the Shraddha. But even if you go to Ganga, no Shraddha, then it will not work. So Teertham. Okay. So there are few things where if you have faith, your faith will work. Say, when you chant a mantra, you must have faith in the effect of it. Efficacy of that mantra, you must have faith. When you get into the river, now as a Teertham, as a purifier, and you know in the significance of it, it will be effective. Similarly, even when you happen to see a Brahmana, you know, then you must have Shraddha in the person, the respect for the person for that, then it will be effective. Similarly, medicine also. Suppose any doctor gives you any medicine. Medicine also, if you don't have faith, how are you going to know whether medicine will work or not? If you know Shraddha, there's no problem. Only faith-based factors, they're all. You must have faith before you can't decide. You can't choose whether it works or not. You must have faith. You must try. You want to know whether it works or not. Similarly, Bhagava, in Ishvara also, in any worship, whether worship of Devata or worship of Ishvara, faith must be there. Because faith must be in worship. Worship as a symbolic act of offering, as a will-involved action, it is effective. Having Shraddha in efficacy, being faithful of efficacy of the worship, one must do. Then definitely any worship will be effective. So, Devata worship for finite ends also is effective. Ishvara worship for infinite end also is effective. And whether you worship, whichever Devata you worship, whichever form you worship, whoever is the devotee, still his Shraddha is stabilized by Ishvara in the form of order, who alone ordains the results of actions.
Sataya Shraddhaya Yuktaha Tasya Aradhana Mihate Sataya Shraddhaya Yuktaha Tasya Aradhana Mihate Labhate Chatatah Kaman Mayaiva Vihitan Hitan Sataya Shraddhaya Yuktaha Tasyaradhanamihate Labhate Chatatah Kaman Mayaiva Vihitan Hitan Sataya Shraddhaya Yuktaha Tasyaradhanamihate Labhate Chatatah Kaman Mayaiva vihitan hitan.
So, and such a person, the one who was mentioned previously in the previous verse. So whichever devotee worships the, whichever devata, whichever form worships, and his Shraddha in that, his faith towards that Devata becomes strengthened and stabilized. By whom? By Ishvara in the form of order. And such a devotee who is endowed with that strengthened Shraddha, stabilized Shraddha, Saha Taya Shraddhaya Yuktaha, that devotee who is endowed with that strengthened, stabilized faith. Tasya aradhanam ihate. Then what happens? He remains involved. Ihate means he remains involved, he engages himself in the worship of that Devata. Worship of the Devata in that given form. So, tasya aradhanam ihate means what? The devotee involves himself in the worship of that specific Devata. Tasya means of that specific Devata. Aradhanam, worship. Ihate, aradhanam, radhanam, both mean the same. Ihate means he involves in, he engages himself in, he involves himself in the worship of that specific Devata. The Shraddha towards which Devata, his strength, his devotion, his Shraddha has become, is been strengthened and stabilized. So, Taya Shraddhaya Yuktaha, being endowed with that strengthened, stabilized faith, and that devotee, that person, involves himself, engages himself in worshipping, in the worship of that specific Devata. By engaging himself, by involving himself in the worship of that Devata, towards whom his Shraddha has been strengthened, what happens then? When he worships, Tataha, thereby, thereafter, Kaman Labhate. See, the word Kamaha literally means desire. Kamaha also means object of pleasure. Here, Kamaha means fulfillment of his wishes and desires. Kaman Labhate means he attains the fulfillment of his desires. Gets all his desires fulfilled. He attains his desires. He gets his desires fulfilled. How? By tapping the grace. How does he tap the grace? By worshipping the Lord Devata. Which Devata? The same Devata. How does he worship the Devata? Because he continuously keeps himself engaged in the worshipping the Devata. Why does he continue to engage himself in worshipping the Devata? Because previously he worshipped, he got the results, thereby his devotion towards the Devata has become more stabilized. So being endowed with that more stabilized, more strengthened devotion towards the Devata, engaging himself in the worship of the Devata, this person gets all his desires, all his wishes fulfilled. Saha kaman labhate. Devotee worships Devata. He has Shraddha in the Devata. He enjoys the benefits of worshipping. Then his devotion becomes, Shraddha becomes much stronger. His faith becomes much stronger and stabilized. Again, he involves, the stronger the faith, more he is engaged in worshipping the Devata. Stronger the faith, more stabilized the faith, and he worships the Devata more. Thereby, he taps more grace and he enjoys what? Gets all his desires fulfilled. But Bhagavan says, he continues to worship with more Shraddha, he gets his desires fulfilled. But I tell you one thing, I only ordain Aham Vidadhami. Ishtra says, Bhagavan as the law and order, Bhagavan the form of natural law, as karma phala data, what now? Ordains those fulfillment of desires as a result of his worship of that Devata. Maya yeva ta vihitan tan kaman labhate. Bhagavan says, saha kaman labhate. He does get his desires fulfilled. But who is the ordainer? Does Devata ordain the results of action? The sun ordain, moon ordain, the Devata ordain, who ordains? The result of worship of Surya Devata, result of worship of Agni Devata, result of worship of Vayu Devata, result of worship of any Devata in any form by any devotee, that result is ordained by Ishvara in the form of natural law. Bhagavan says, Maya Eva Vihitan Tan Kaman Labhate, Tan Kaman Labhate. He enjoys the results of, he gets the fulfill, he gets all his desires fulfilled, and that result of fulfillment of his desires, result of fulfillment of desires, he gets how? Ordained by me alone. Maya Eva Vihitan. Which means the Lord in the Ishvara in the form of law and order, as the in the form of natural law, determines the result of any action. If a result of this worship of Devatas also is ordained by Bhagavan only. Which means Devata worship or Ishvara worship. The bestower of result of action is Ishvara. That is the lesson. And Ishvara in which form? Ishvara in the form of natural law. We think, I go and worship this Devata, he only gives. I don't go to that temple, I only go to this temple. Why? I go here, only after going here, everything worked. So this the Bhagavan only gives, that Bhagavan does not give me. This is our buddhi, isn't it? Some people who go only to one specific temple. Kumbakonam pona, they go to Kumbakonam, but they specifically they want to go to only this temple, not to any other temple. Why? Only by after going to this temple, everything worked. It's fine. Actually, you should remember the fact, doesn't matter which temple you are going to, which murti you worship, which form you are invoking Bhagavan's grace, doesn't matter. Ultimately, whichever Devata, whether people worship Chandran for Chandra Dosha Nivritti, they worship the moon. For Surya Dosha Nivritti, so they worship Sun. And they go to, you know, some Shani Devata. You do different Preeti, no? Different Devata Preeti we do to, you know, actually to sort out the problems caused by ill effects caused by the different planets in their unfavorable positions. Doesn't matter whether you Surya Sani Puja, Rahu Puja, Ketu Puja, Buddha Puja, Shukra Puja, whichever Puja you do, whichever Devata you specifically invoke also, actually the result of that Puja is ordained by Ishvara in the form of law and order. Which means your worship never goes waste. So that's what Bhagavan says here. Tan Kaman, no? Maya Eva Vihitan Kaman Tan Labhate. The worshipper of any Devata enjoys the benefit of that worship. The results in the form of result of fulfillment of his desires ordained by me. Krishna says ordained by me, ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order. Bhagavan form of natural law.
Sataya shaddhaya yuktah tasya radhana mihate labhate chatatah kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan.
Bhakti also, the shaddha also needs reinforcement, isn't it? Shraddha, you may have Shraddha in the beginning and gradually you may lose Shraddha. So Shraddha needs reinforcement. Shraddha needs to be stabilized. Shraddha needs to be strengthened. When does your Shraddha become strengthened, stabilized, reinforced? Only when you enjoy the benefit of, enjoy the result of your act of worshipping towards that specific Devata. And that, when, how, that, because Bhagavan says, Ishvara in the form of natural law determines the results of any worship, thereby your Shraddha in that particular Devata becomes strengthened. Then when your Shraddha is strengthened, with the more Shraddha you get, engage yourself more in worship and prayer, and the more you enjoy the benefits, the more you enjoy the results. That is how this Bhakta enjoys, gets all his desires fulfilled, and all the benefits, all the results, all your fulfillment of all your wishes actually is ordained by Ishvara in the form of law and order. This is the main teaching of this previous verse.
Antavattu phalam tesham. Antavattu phalam tesham. Tadbhavatyalpamedhasam. Antavattu phalam tesham. Tadbhavatyalpamedhasam. Devan devaya joyanti madbhaktayanti mamapi. Devan devaya joyanti madbhaktayanti mamapi. Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavatyalpamedhasam. Devan devaya joyanti madbhaktayanti mamapi.
No, Bhagavan says here, you definitely get whatever you aspire for through your worship. You worship the Lord. You worship means worship is an action involving many units of actions. Many units of small actions constitute one act of worshipping. It can be a Vedic ritual prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda, or it can be substitute of karma, Vedic ritual, you know, of other pujas, or you can worship Devata, any natural Devata, a phenomenon known as a Devata in any form. And with the great Shraddha, you can do, but still, what happens? Definitely, any form of worship of any Devata in any form for anything, definitely it is effective, he says. But, and here, alpamedhasam, result is definite. But what result? You only get what you aspire for. If you aspire for time-bound ends, arthakama dharmas, if you aspire for wealth, if you aspire for money, if you aspire for marriage, if you aspire for progeny, aspire for cattle wealth, aspire for health, etc. If you aspire for time-bound ends, then definitely you get only time-bound ends. Nothing wrong in aspiring for anything. You must be very highly intelligent to have a purushartha nischeha. So it will be convinced of the fact that human being's life is ultimately for discovering the freedom which is already there. That is where one's happiness is. That is where one's freedom is. That is where one's dukkham will not be there. That is where satisfaction will be there. That conviction takes very long. Conviction is very, very important. Therefore, only when you are convinced of your end being moksha, then you would be aspiring for jnanam. Isn't it? And then such a phalam is accomplishable. If you ask otherwise, you may have some shraddha in moksha, jnanam and all those things, but still you have still value for other things. Nothing wrong. Still you have to grow. You aspire for dharmas, time-bound ends, then you will get those ends also. You will get definitely what you aspire for. Okay? Because that is how law is. The law, Bhagavan in the form of natural law, will ordain without fail what you aspire for through your act of worshipping. that is made clear. Alpamedhasam tesham, tesham alpamedhasam, alpamedhas, medhas. I tell you one thing, the word medhas means the one with, the medha is a wisdom, okay? Alpamedhas means here, one who is of inadequate intelligence. So inadequate intelligence means what? The person who is not discriminate. The person who is not, who is indiscriminate is called Alpamedhas. Alpamedhas means who is not adequately wise. Who is not adequately wise means what? Who is not intelligent enough. It means who is indiscriminate. And Alpamedhasam plural. Alpamedhasam for indiscriminate people, unintelligent people. What's unintelligent? People of inadequate intelligence. You say indiscriminate people. Alpamedhasam. Who are Alpamedhas people? People who, for whom artha kama dharmas are the ultimate ends. Who do not know, for whom jnanam is not the ultimate end. Who do not know the value of moksha. Do not have purushartha nischaya. Such people are said to be alpamedhasaha. Alpamedhasaha. Must I call you soon? I'll call you soon.
My name is
Molly
Nelson,
and I'm calling from Rapid Specialist. I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Sorry. Okay. I don't even drive here. I have car accident. Okay. So here. Okay. So Alpamedhasam. Alpamedhasam for indiscriminate people. Who are indiscriminate people? If jnanam is not your ultimate goal, if purushartha nischaya is not there, Shastram says, I'm sorry to say this, you are Alpamedhas. You are not a Buddhu. You are Samedhas only, but Alpamedhas. Okay. So Alpamedhasam for people who are indiscriminate, who do not know clearly, what am I searching for? Am I searching for permanent or am I searching for something time bound? Such discriminative understanding is not there. Therefore, you choose to pursue other time bound ends. Such people are said to be Alpamedhasaha. Such Alpamedhasam, people of indiscriminate understanding, and they only what they do? They worship Devatas. And for what? Time-bound ends. If they are Sumedhasaha, if they are people of people of discriminative understanding, they will aspire for Jnanam, they will have Moksha as the ultimate goal, they will, all their pursuit of Artha Kama Dharmas will be for Jnanam and Moksha. But these Alpamedhasaha, indiscriminate people, worship the Devatas specifically for time-bound ends. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Alpamedhasam tat phalam bhavati. Definitely, the results they aspire for, the ends they aspire for happen for those indiscriminate people. And what phalam? Antavat phalam. Antavat means time-bound, finite result, benefit of their worship definitely happens for those indiscriminate people. Which means even though they're indiscriminate, even though they're still worshipping only Devatas, even though they seek only the finite ends, still that in that finite time-bound result does happen for those people, for whatever they aspire for, they get. Because alpamedasaha. And devan devayajaha yanti. Devayajaha devan yanti. So those who devayajaha, see devayaj means worshipper of devata. We have another expression, yaji. Yaji also is a worshipper, performer of a yaga. Is called yaji. Yaji is a North India's Brahmana surname. Yaji. So, we say yaji. Soma yajulla. Now we have the Andhra Pradesh. Telugu. Yeah. So, this yaji is another word. Deka nakaranda shabda. We have yaj here. Deva yaj means worshipper of devatas. Deva yajaha means worshippers of devatas. Devata worshippers are those who invoke the grace of devatas for the specific time-bound ends. Arthakamadha, in terms of arthakama dharmas. Okay, such people, devan yanti, they attain only devas, devatas. Worshippers of devatas attain devatas. Bhagavan says, madbhaktaha mam api yanti. Whereas my devotees who worship Ishvara as the whole, Lord the whole, seeking jnanam and moksha, they attain Bhagavan in Ishvara in terms of knowledge. So Ishvara worshippers attain Ishvara, Devata worshippers attain Devatas. What does it mean? Devata worshippers attain time-bound ends and Ishvara worshippers attain Jnanam and Moksha. What is Ishvara here? When you worship the Lord for Jnanam and Moksha, you are Ishvara worshipper. You worship the Lord for in time-bound ends, you are Devata worshipper. What you pray for makes you worshipper of Devata or Ishvara. If you are aspiring for Jnanam and Moksha, you are seeking, you want to know Bhagavan, then you are worshipper of Bhagavan. If you seek Bhagavan's grace for Arthakama Dharmas, you are worshipper of Devatas. But he says, Devayajaha Devan Yanti, Madbhaktaha Mam Yanti. Yanti means attain. So people who seek Ishvara's grace for Jnanam and Moksha attain Ishvara in terms of Jnanam. People who seek Devata's grace for time-bound ends, they attain Devata's, enjoy the time-bound ends. See, any end accomplished through Devata worship is also Devata only. Everything is Devata. Okay. So, Devayajaha Devan Yanti. Worshippers of Devatas attain Devatas. Madbhaktaha means Ishvara, worshippers of the Lord, the whole, seeking Jnanam, attain the Ishvara in terms of knowledge as the very self. Okay. Which means, the result of worship of the indiscriminate people is the result of worship of indiscriminate people is finite one. That is made clear. So, Bhagavan already has made very clear. What is that? Now it's a hinted. What you aspire for makes you intelligent, or your alpamedas or sumedas. Isn't it? Bhagavan doesn't say you're right or wrong or bad, good or bad. If you worship devatas, you have only time-bound ends. You worship Ishvara, you're aspiring for jnanam moksha, which is infinite end, permanent end. That is hinted. And for which we should remember, any time-bound end has all lots of problems, many defects it has, because it involves in getting it, in accomplishing any time-bound end, in achieving a time-bound end, in having a time-bound end, definitely there's a lot of stress and strain is involved. It is a pain is involved. And in preserving it, in maintaining it, in protecting it, again there's a pain involved. And definitely subject to get lost because it's a finite in nature. And in losing it, there'll be greater pain. You know, in earning, we have to remember this called defect of any time-bound end. What's the defect? In getting it, lot of stress, strain is involved. Arjane dukkham, rakshane dukkham, nashe dukkataram. In attaining it, until you get it, it involves great pain. Once you're having got it, you have to maintain it, preserve it, then again it involves pain. If you lose it, there's a greater pain. Therefore, dukkha rahita, pure pleasure is not there at all. Pain-free, pure pleasure is not there at all. Any pleasure you enjoy, that pleasure is mixed with the pain. You have to work hard to earn pleasure. You have to work hard to maintain the enjoyment of pleasure. And it's a greater pain in losing the pleasure. Isn't it? Any object of enjoyment involves effort in obtaining. There's a pain involved. In protecting, in preserving, in maintaining it, pain is involved. And in losing it, there's a greater pain. Therefore, this is the defect, the limitations of any time-bound end. We have to remember that. Then, second thing, there will not be such a thing called absolute satisfaction. Okay, I wanted this particular thing. Now I worked very hard. I struggled a lot. I slogged a lot. Worked hard. I got it. After having got what I wanted to get, now I'm satisfied. I have got it. Do you think you can say? Never. Until you get it, you are dissatisfied. After you got it, you still continue to be dissatisfied. You thought you were going to be satisfied after getting it, but after getting it, you continue to be dissatisfied. It was like once upon a time, long, long ago, iPhone 6 Plus came. That time, okay, getting iPhone 6 Plus was fantastic. So there's lot of, okay, with effortlessly also sometimes you get. You get the iPhone 6 Plus and then you thought that will make you very highly satisfied. But immediately you see other person having iPhone 7, now iPhone 10 Plus also has, 11 is going to come soon. And you are nowhere, okay? A dissatisfaction. What I'm saying, we want to get something and then you think you will be satisfied after getting something. Once you get it, you get what you aspired for. But dissatisfaction does not go. Dissatisfaction will continue to be there. Because there's always more than, better than, greater than, superior to what you have. Therefore, dissatisfaction will be there. Oh, then when can I be absolutely satisfied? Shastra says, unless and until you discover Bhagavan as the truth in the form of, as your own self, there's no satisfaction. You have to discover Bhagavan in the form of truth as your own self. That is where satisfaction. That is where your smallness will resolve. Satisfaction will be possible only in resolving your fundamental problem. What absolute satisfaction is possible only in having your fundamental problem resolved. And the fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity will be resolved only in your perspective change. Your perspective change, you need jnanam, vijnana deva kaivalyam. Therefore, time bound ends will keep you dissatisfied forever. So time bound ends, Arthakama Dharmas, what now involves pain in gaining, in preserving, protecting, in losing it as a greater pain. So Dukkha Mishitam, defect number one. Defect number two, no, it will never make you feel satisfied absolutely. There'll be, therefore what now? No, it doesn't make you, there's no tripti in what you get it. Okay, this one. Then, and also, and then there's never satisfaction. And also, it will any time bound end will make you, will bless, will give you the problem of enslavement. Because you, once you get used to it, no, you will develop, you will be, become attached to it, which means you'll be enslaved by that object. Enslaved. Enslavement is also another big problem. All these things will be what? Actually big obstacles in accomplishing your jnanam. Because you will be continuously distracted and disturbed. So what Shastram says here, it is nothing wrong in aspiring for time-bound ends. It is nothing wrong in seeking the grace of devatas. It is also very valid and useful. But you must be prudent and intelligent enough to pursue arthakamas for living this life, but have jnanam, Bhagavan, Isha as the ultimate end. That is the lesson here. Tat palameva bhavati. You enjoy all the benefits. Again, you accumulate punya. Again, continue to be in samsara. Alpamedasam samsare sthitihi. You will continue to be in samsara, enjoying this time-bound ends. And again, aspiring for it more and more, doing more and more karma, and accumulating punya papams, you will continue to be in samsara. Ajnanam is kept safe. No? Kept safe, but continue to be in samsara. Whereas, if you are a seeker of jnanam in terms of Bhagavan, you attain moksha. That is what Bhagavan says here. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mama buddhayaha. Is it clear now? I can move to next verse. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mama buddhayaha param bhavama janantaha mama vyayamanuttamam avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mama buddhayaha param bhavama janantaha mama vyayamanuttamam avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mama buddhayaha param bhavama janantaha mama vyayamanuttamam. So Bhagavan says here, abuddhayaha. So abuddhayaha. So buddhihi means intelligence, which means discrimination. And in this context, the word abuddhayaha, buddhihi buddhayaha. But abuddhayaha means the indiscriminate people. Abuddhayaha means non-thinking people. indiscriminate people. What do they do? Manyante. Indiscriminate non-thinking people consider. Whom? Bhagavan says, Mam Manyante. Abuddhayaha Mam Manyante. The non-thinking people, indiscriminate people. Who are the indiscriminate people? People who do not have Purushartha Nischayaha, who do not know the value of Jnanam, who are not committed to the pursuit of knowledge, who do not think what is permanent and what is impermanent, who do not see how impermanent everything in this world is, who have not yet paid attention to the impermanence of things here. Such people, the indiscriminate, non-thinking, unintelligent people, he says, they consider, Ishvara, Mom, here means me, Ish, the Lord, to be avyaktam vyaktimapannam. They consider the unmanifest Lord to be the manifest. Avyaktam mam vyaktim apannam manyante. They consider, the indiscriminate people consider the Lord, the unmanifest, the truth, to be the manifest. They mistake the unmanifest Lord to be the manifest. I'll explain it, don't worry. Avyaktamam vyaktimapannam manyante. They consider the Lord, the unmanifest, to be the manifest. Mama param bhavam ajanantaha. And then mama avyayam anuttamam param bhavam ajanantaha. Why do people mistake the unmanifest for Lord to be the manifest? What does it mean? I'll explain it, don't worry. Because they do not know. Ajanantaha, not knowing. Ajanantaha, not knowing Bhagavan's parambhavam, exalted nature, absolute nature, actual original essential nature, not knowing Bhagavan's higher nature. Not knowing higher nature, what is that nature? Changeless, avyayam, anuttamam, highly unsurpassed, changeless, indestructible, higher nature, not knowing Bhagavan's essential higher nature, being changeless, indestructible, and highly unsurpassed, not knowing Bhagavan's nature, they consider the unmanifest Lord to be the manifest. What does it mean? Let me make it very clear. Param bhavam ajanantaha, avyayam bhavam ajanantaha. Ajanantaha means not knowing. Those indiscriminate people, they do not know. So not knowing, ajanantaha. Kim ajanantaha? Param bhavam ajanantaha, avyayam bhavam ajanantaha, anuttamam bhavam ajanantaha. Not knowing the essential nature, higher nature, changeless, indestructible, highly unsurpassed higher nature, not knowing Bhagavan's swarupam, not knowing what Bhagavan is essentially, how Ishvara, the Lord, the whole, is essentially indestructible, how Ishvara is essentially unchangeable, how essentially Ishra is a changelessness, how Ishra is, you know, what is Ishra's higher nature, not knowing that nature, essential nature, which is changeless and indestructible. They mistake this, in fact, unmanifest, the essential nature, which is ever unmanifest here, means, let me explain to you, to be the manifest one. Let me tell you here. See, in this verse, Bhagavan actually discusses people of two different understanding. We can say people of two types. See, there are people who do not have any understanding of Ishvara at all. Completely ignorant of Ishvara. There are some people who really understand Bhagavan, Ishvara. So people who have the understanding of Bhagavan, there are people who do not have any understanding of Bhagavan at all. People who know Bhagavan, people who do not know Bhagavan. Okay? Like that. Which means, when Bhagavan says Bhagavan is of the twofold prakritis, and twofold prakritis constitute Ishvara, paraprakritihi and apraprakritihi. The paraprakritihi is nothing but consciousness. Apraprakritihi is just inert matter. And these twofold factors together constitute Ishvara. This is, paraprakritihi is higher nature, essential nature in terms of consciousness. And apraprakritihi is the lower nature. And these two together form Ishvara. It has been said. Now, people who do not understand Ishvara at all are the people who are ignorant of Ishvara. And who are those people? Such people who see, the ignorant people can appreciate only the apara prakriti of Ishvara. The ignorant people who do not understand Ishvara at all, they can appreciate, in their understanding is only inferior nature. The apara prakriti of Ishvara alone is there. People ignorant of Bhagavan see only apara prakriti of the Lord. They do not see the apara prakriti as Ishvara's prakriti. They see only apara prakriti. For them, para prakriti doesn't even exist because they do not know. When I say people mistake the apara prakriti of the Lord, not mistake, they see only apara prakriti, means they do not see para prakriti. Which means, such people who do not know the paraprakriti, definitely they have the problem. Why? Paraprakriti of Bhagavan, if anybody knows paraprakriti of Bhagavan, that paraprakriti they have to know as their own self. Whoever knows paraprakriti of Ishvara, knows Ishvara to be one's own self. The person who, the knower of Ishvara's paraprakriti is actually the knower of the self. Why? Paraprakriti of Ishvara, in terms of consciousness, is available for recognition as one's own self, as the truth of I. Okay. The people who know Bhagavan, for them, paraprakriti of Ishvara is the very self. And people who are ignorant of para prakriti of Ishvara, who see only apara prakriti, for them, self means body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, people ignorant of Ishvara, helpless are the people who are ignorant of the self. And people ignorant of the self, ignorant of Paraprakriti of Ishvara, helplessly mistake the Anatma, body, mind, sense complex, you know, for the self. And such people also, they do not see, they mistake even Rama comes, Krishna comes, whichever, they only mistake the form of Ishvara. The form of Ishvara, the body, the physical appearance of the Lord to be the real God. They mistake the physical appearance of the Lord to be the Lord. And the physical appearance of the Lord is also what? Apara Prakritihi. When they mistake the Apara Prakritihi, the physical appearance of the Lord as the Lord, because they do not know the Para Prakritihi of Lord. What Bhagavan says, and Para Prakritihi is what? Para Prakritihi is, Apara Prakritihi is manifest. The physical appearance is manifest form. Apara Prakritihi is what? Here, avyakta means invisible. The invisible, imperceptible, unknowable consciousness principle, which is not an object of knowledge. Okay, actually, higher nature of Ishvara, Para Prakriti of Ishvara, being consciousness, being the very truth, is not perceptible, not objectifiable, and non-objectifiable, imperceptible, the essential nature is not known. Instead, they mistake the vyaktam. The perceptible, objectifiable is vyaktam. Okay? Vyaktam means, in this context, manifest. Vyaktam means manifest. Manifest means, in this context, perceptible, objectifiable, visible, physical appearance. Avyakta means what? Unobjectifiable, non-objectifiable, imperceptible consciousness. So they mistake the Ishvara's higher nature. Ishvara's higher nature is what? Imperceptible, unobjectifiable, reality. But they do not know, because they do not know the higher nature, they mistake the imperceptible, objectifiable, visible, physical appearance to be the Lord. I think I made it very clear. Have I made it clear now? The word vyaktam, avyaktam in this context, please listen to me carefully. Avyaktam literally means unmanifest. Vyaktam literally means manifest. But in this context, the word avyaktam stands for unobjectifiable, imperceptible consciousness. It is a higher nature. But perceptible, objectifiable, inferior nature is paraprakriti, that is a physical appearance. Because they do not know how, what Bhagavan is essentially. Essentially, Bhagavan is indestructible, unchangeable, changeless reality, the consciousness. That they do not know. Param bhavam avyayam, avyayam param bhavam ajanantaha. What do they do? They mistake the avyaktam mam ajanantaha. They mistake the vyaktam to be the avyaktam. They mistake the apara prakritihi to be the para prakritihi. They mistake the objectifiable, perceptible, visible physical appearance as the higher nature of Ishvara. Is it clear? Why? they do not know. So Bhagavan, he's talking about the ignorant people in this verse. Jnani people, he'll talk about it later on, which we'll see next class. See, it's a very, very slow and steady, thorough study. Slow, steady, thorough, steady. Isn't it? Same thing, different ways of looking at it. So physical appearance is mistaken for Ishvara. So we only Radha Nandanaha, Gopi Vallabhaha, Rukmini, Rukmini Kantaha, now we know. Isn't it? Ananda, Nanda Kumaraha, Vasudeva Sutaha, Devik, we only connect to the physical appearance of Ishvara. So we had a mistake, the physical appearance of Ishvara as Ishvara. Why they do not know what Bhagavan is essentially? For a person to know what Bhagavan is essentially, they should know their own self. Because Bhagavan, as Bhagavan's essential nature is available as one's own essential nature. So, unfortunately, I couldn't continue with this topic. I'll start from this verse next class. The 24th, I have to redo next class. I'll explain to you. Avyaktam vyaktim apannam. That I need to explain to you for again. Okay? Don't worry. I will definitely start from the same verse, 24th verse. Until now it's clear. Now so, you do more of Devata worship. No problem. In fact, once you know the significance of worship, we must do a lot of Devata worship. In fact, Devata worship itself can be converted into Ishvara worship if you have Purusharatha Nischaya. So you have Ore Kala Rendu Manga. You can enjoy the benefits of Devata worship. You can also aspire for Ishvara worship. Okay, we'll see next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.